39 and text number 36. Etavadeva jignasyam tatpa jignasunatmanah anvaya vyatirekabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada etavadeva. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So we are reading second part of the purport now today. Indirectly, it is said that the whole Vedic social construction of human society is so made that everyone acts as a part and parcel of the complete body of the Lord. The intelligent class of men are the Brahmanas, are situated on the face of the Lord. The administrative class of men, the Kshatriyas, are situated on the arms of the Lord. The productive class of men, the Vaishyas, are situated on the belt of the Lord. And the labor class of men, the Shudras, are situated on the legs of the Lord. Therefore, the complete social construction is the body of the Lord, and all the parts of the body, namely Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudras, are meant to serve the Lord's whole body conjointly. Otherwise, the parts become unfit to be coordinated with the Supreme Consciousness of Oneness. Universal consciousness is factually achieved by coordinated service of all concerned to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that alone can ensure total perfection. Therefore, even the great scientists, the great philosophers, the great mental speculators and great politicians, the great industrialists, the great social reformers, etc., cannot give any relief to the restless society of the material world because they do not know the secret of success as mentioned in this verse of the Bhagavatam. Namely, that one must know the mystery of Bhakti Yoga. The Bhagavad Gita also it is said,
Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradhamaha Mayaya pahrta jnana asuram bhavam ashritaha.
Because the so-called great leaders of human society are ignorant of this great knowledge of Bhakti Yoga, they are always engaged in ignoble acts of sense gratification, bewildered by the external energy of the Lord. They are stubborn rebels against the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they never agree to surrender unto Him, because they are fools, miscreants and lowest type of human beings. Such faithless non-believers may be highly educated in the material sense of the term, but factually they are the greatest of fools of the world, because by the influence of the external material nature, all their so-called acquisition of knowledge has been made null and void. Therefore, all advancement of knowledge in the present context of things is being misused by cats and dogs fighting with one another for sense gratification. And all acquisition of knowledge in science, philosophy, fine arts, nationalism, economic development, religion and great activities are being spoiled by being used as dresses for dead man. There is no utility in the dress used for covering a coffin of a dead body, save getting false applause from the ignorant public. The Srimad Bhagavatam therefore says again and again, and that without attainment of the status of Bhakti Yoga, all the activities of human society are to be considered absolute failures only. It is said,
Parabhavastavada bodhajato yavanna jignasata atma tattvam yavat kriyastavadidam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandha.
As long as one is blind to inquiring after self-realization, all material activities, however great they may be, are all different kinds of defeat, because the aim of human life is not fulfilled by such unwanted profitless activities. The function of the human body is to attain freedom from material bondage, but as long as one is fully absorbed in the material activities, his mind will be overwhelmed in the whirlpool of matter, and thus he will continue to be encaged in material bodies life after life.
Oh. ओमज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
हरे कृष्ण. So this purport is a very very long purport. I just gone on almost 1.5 pages now. Probably another 5-6 pages we have purport. It will go on for some more classes. I just took a couple of themes in those 2 pages. So in the indirect part, which Prabhupada is explaining here today, he says, indirectly it is said that the whole Vedic social construction of human society is so made that everyone acts as a part and parcel of the complete body of the Lord. It is explained in Bhagavatam elsewhere, another place.
Yayesham purusham sakshat atma prabhavam ishwaram na bhajanti abhajananti sthanat brashtaha patanti adaha.
It says, Yayesham. Yayesham means what? These 4 classes that are explained above, it says. What are those 4 classes that Prabhupada explains here?
Mukabahurupadebhya purushasyashramaisaha chatvaro jagnirevarna gunair vipradaya pritak.
So, according to the gunas, these 4 classes are made. Mukabahuru means the face is like the brahmana. Brahmanas are like the face of the Lord. Bahu means the shoulders. Uru means the thighs.
Mukabahuru padebhya.
Pada is the feet of the Lord. So the face, the shoulder, the thighs and the feet of the Lord are compared with the 4 classes. The Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. He explains that. And then after that he says, in the same manner, ashramas were also created by the Lord. They all are coming from the Virat Purusha form. When the Lord created the material world, these things were created in the beginning. He personally created it. That is why modern man trying to make 2 sexes as unisex or 4 classes as singular class, that can never be done. Because if something is established by the Lord, nobody can change it. So, Prabhupada explains in one place, even if a woman wears a pant and a shirt, you know, she cannot become actual man. Because the psychophysical natures of a woman and a man are different. So they can make unisex by making a woman become educated and go to company and do job just like man, externally. But the psychophysical natures cannot be changed. Psychophysical natures cannot be changed. It's there. 2 sexes are there in this world. In the same manner, 4 classes also. They cannot be molded into one. Like I went to IIT Kharagpur. So there somebody took me around and they showed me. So I saw that, you know, there were very beautiful single villa kind of buildings. Then afterwards we found there were some row houses. Then we found there were some colony blocks. And then we found there were something almost like a chal kind of thing, you know. So I asked why they have different types of houses. They said for different people. We have staff, working staff, and we have professors, then we have the director, you know. For different people, they have different types of homes. I said, why don't they give the same type of house for everyone? Why do they give different type of homes, different type of salary, different type of activity for different people? So you will find that although modern man talks a lot about a classless society, there is class undeniably. So in company you find there is a R&D, research and development department, which is actually Brahmana class. Brahmana class people, they keep doing research because they are supposed to use their brain. And in the company they have an accounting department, finance and administration, accounting department. So they are doing, they are thinking about how to make more money and how to expand the existing money. That is their contemplation. How to cut down the costs of the company. And they also have an administration department. wing which actually manages the whole company, Kshatriya class. Then there is a labor class in the companies. So you will find in the modern times they are doing the same thing with a different name, that's all. They have the same four classes, you go to any company. One main difference is, all these four classes, they have a duty that is mentioned here. The duty is, they all have originated from the Virat Purusha body of the Lord, so they have to serve one from whom they have come from. Who is the origin of these four classes? Supreme Lord. So that is something which is totally forgotten in the modern times. That the Lord has to be served. That is explained here. Many verses say that. Atapambir dvijasreshta varnashrama vibhagashah sva anushtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. Sva anushtitasya dharmasya. Everyone should do their own dharma and offer the fruits to the Supreme Lord. So, and then it says, if one does not serve Krishna, Supreme Lord, what happens? These four classes, if they don't serve, Yayesham Purusham Sakshat Atma Prabhavam Ishwaram. Prabhava means from whom all these classes have come. If they don't serve him, Na Bhajanti, he says. Na Bhajanti means when they don't serve. Avajananti, or they offend. When we don't serve, then we will offend. That is a natural result. For example, somebody was asking Maharaj a question on how can I avoid offenses. He said, serve, then you will not commit offenses. He said, really? How by serving we don't offend? Because for us to serve someone, we have to respect. Otherwise we cannot serve. So when you respect, then only we can serve. Then when you serve, then we will not offend. He said. So here it says, Na bhajanti avajananti. Sthanat brashtaha patantyada, he says. Brashtaha means falls, one falls down from the position. That can happen to all these four classes of people, like the brahmanas, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, all of them. In fact, the Vedas talk about how each of these fellows, each of these persons can fall from the standards of their purity. There are also adjectives used for each of these fellows, each of these four classes. Like it is said, learned brahmanas, chaivalras kshatriyas, well-to-do vaishyas, faithful shudras. It is said, these are the good qualities, these four classes. Now a brahmana can become a so-called brahmana by not being learned. How? That example is given in the Bhagavatam. Sometimes you walk through a forest path, and the path sometimes becomes covered by grass, so that no one is walking for some time. It becomes covered by grass. Similarly, a brahmana sometimes grows long beard and long hair, and he is not studying the shastras properly. He is not rising early in the morning. He is not studying the Vedas. He is not doing his spiritual duties. Sometimes he may give up the duties and become lethargic. That is due to lethargy. There is a story of, in Mahabharata, there is a story of how a brahmana was so lethargic, giving up his duties. Then he gradually fell down to sinful activities. See, the problem is, first a person is situated in ideal platform. Then one becomes either lethargic or irresponsible or whatever. Then they come to a second platform where they don't commit sin, but they fail from doing duty. And the third platform is one falls prey to sin. Like that. So, platform of being dutiful, platform of giving up duty, and falling prey to sinful activities. So, when he fell prey to sinful activities, in the next lifetime he became a camel. So, this camel, he realized, alas, I have become a camel. But he was a very, very lazy camel. Lethargic camel. Some or other, even in a camel's body, he performed some penance. And then Lord Brahma appeared. And Brahma asked, please tell me, what can I give you? What a foolish camel he was. You know what boon he asked? He said, I am feeling too lazy to walk around searching for my food. Please give me a boon by which I can extend my head 100 yojanas sitting in one place only. He said, I can just stick out my neck long distances and take my food and I can sit in this place. That's a boon he asked. And he got the boon also. Brahma said, Tadastu, and he went away. He was very happy. He could extend his arms and, you know, browse the whole forest with 100 yojana neck and get his food every day. And he was doing that. One day there was a heavy storm, heavy rain, and all the trees were being knocked off by the heavy wind, blasting wind. And this camel was finding too much difficulty, and his you know, sand was going into his eyes and nose and mouth and everything. So he wanted to escape. So he put his neck into a cave. He stripped out his neck and found out a cave, and he put his whole head into a cave and he kept peaceful. He thought, at least let the storm subside, then I'll come out. So inside the cave, there was a jackal living. And jackal thought, oh, I got my good food now. So he held the neck very firmly with his toe. And he started eating up the head and neck and everything. And this fellow was trying to take out his neck, but he couldn't just get it out of the cave. It got stuck inside. So he ate it all. This is a real story mentioned in Mahabharata. And the poor camel died like that. So there he talks about how a brahmana should not be lethargic. He should not be lazy. You see, it is not enough even for a practicing devotee to be not sinful or just be dutiful. Somebody shouldn't say, oh, I have done my duty and I am free from sin. One has to know that there is a constant assignment given to us that we have to develop love for Krishna. We have to become lovers of Krishna. In fact, there is a likelihood of one becoming lethargic when if the sadhus and the ashram mates, they think that some rich men are very charitable to us and they are supporting us and we are preaching, we give some kind of speech, a few lectures we preach and then they donate us and they take care of our well-being very nicely. Roti, kapada, makan, everything is taken good care. One may become very complacent in that situation. Or sometimes a rich householder may offer some donations and think that now if I pay this donation, nobody will interfere with my sense gratification. I can go on with my program. So both these people are condemned. A dutiful and charitable man giving charity and continuing with the sense gratification without developing love for Krishna. Or a sadhu who thinks, oh, if I just give a few lectures, I get my belly filled up. I have no worry. All my material needs or amenities are provided for me. It's a very nice facility if somebody thinks like that. Both these people are condemned. Both are counted as complacent. So then what should one think? One should know it is not enough to be sinless or dutiful, but we have to become lovers of Krishna. Until the point one can never be satisfied or contented. Actually, in the Shastra you will find the word satisfied. What is the meaning of the word satisfied? It doesn't say that, you know, you achieve some Krishna consciousness and you can be satisfied. It doesn't say that. It says that labho jivete yavata, whatever comes of its own accord Krishna sends you, be satisfied with that. Don't ask for more and more material facilities and amenities and comforts. There we should be satisfied. But when it comes to longing for Krishna, one should always want more and more of it, unlimitedly. Even after one becomes a pure devotee, one should never stop. One should go on increasing one's surrender to Krishna. So the brahmana's life is also like that. A brahmana should never think, okay, now I have read enough, I have something to speak. It is enough, now I don't have to read more. Learning more and knowing more and surrendering more and giving oneself more and more is very important. Now, like we spoke about brahmana now, we can talk about all the four classes. A brahmana may become scholarly and not surrender to the Lord. That is possible. Similarly, a kshatriya, he may use his bahubal, strength of his shoulders, for misusing abusing women or usurping the wealth of other people. Yeah, he can do that. Or he can use his power to punish the weaklings just because they are weaklings, just to show his prowess. Kshatriya can do that. Vaishya also can misuse his money and wine and women. Vaishya can misuse also. And similarly, Shudra can become not faithful and not loyal and can become a thief and loot the master's property. It's possible. So, when these four classes, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they stop worshipping the Supreme Lord, they can fall prey to these lower natures. It's possible. A practical situation is, in our lives, for example, imagine a devotee was coming to temple regularly. He stops coming for a long time. Just wait for 2, 3, 4 months, you will find they don't come. Then over a period of time, when a devotee is cut off from the devotee sangha, then what is the next result? One becomes complacent. The spiritual activities gradually shrink. Shrink. They become smaller and smaller. And at one point of time, one becomes almost like a materialist. And then subsequently, you will find the sinful activities will start. See, these are all connected. That's why I told you three stages. First stage is you are Krishna conscious. Second stage is you give up the duty. Yayesham purusham sakshat, as he says, na bhajanti. And the result is avajananti. Similarly, if we don't praise devotees, we think, oh, I will neither praise nor criticize. I will be neutral. It's very difficult. We try to be neutral, afterwards we will find fault. And then avajananti, we will go to avajananti. From na bhajanti, we go to avajananti. We go subsequently. Same with Supreme Lord also. We don't glorify the Supreme Lord, we don't engage in His service. Then the result is avajananti. We will commit offenses. Then one will dry up. So this can happen to anybody. This kind of all the four classes of people, they can become corrupt. They can become polluted, contaminated. And they may give up their duty. That's very much possible. And then Prabhupada is subsequently explaining here, after these four classes, he's saying, therefore, even the great scientists, the great philosophers, great mental speculators, politicians, industrialists, social reformers cannot give any relief to the restless society of the material world, because they do not know the secret of success as mentioned in the verse of the Bhagavatam, namely that one must know the mystery of Bhakti Yoga. You see, especially those who are becoming leaders, they have to know the subtle science of Bhakti Yoga given in Shastra. Shastra say, if you want to become happy or you want to make others happy, there is only one way. You have to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you have to take His shelter. Then only you can be happy and others can be happy. That secret was known to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Because he worshipped Krishna so nicely that his whole kingdom was very happy. So Prabhupada is saying, people leave that point, the vital point, and then they try to do everything else. Like you will read in Ishopanishad, Prabhupada is explaining there beautifully. He says that in the modern times, man is talking of sending rockets to other planets, or rocket to moon or many other planets. But he has not sorted out the fundamental problems here. People are suffering from varieties of diseases. People are dying of old age. And he has no solution for that. And when you ask scientists about their advancement, they say, we will make you deathless, ageless, diseaseless very soon. We are researching now. We are on the way. And very soon we will create a situation for you where you can be happy forever, for all time to come. Prabhupada is saying, this is simply cheating. And there he gives a couple of examples, one which he is repeating here. So one example he gives there is this one, decorating a dead body. The example he has given here. He says, modern day advancement, there he says, is simply like decoration on a dead body. It is patching up the perpetual miseries of life. Patching up the perpetual miseries by offering some luxuries and comforts to make you forget the problems. Like, for example, the television is such an illusion. You go to any housing colony, loud sound of TV can be heard everywhere. People are watching some movie, somebody is crying, somebody is weeping, some stunt scene is going on, or some duet song is going on. Something is going on. And people who are sitting in the hall watching the TV, they completely forget the world around them. They forget the other problems of life. And they just glue themselves into the TV screen and completely remain submerged in illusion. Like that. So this is the gift of modern advancement. So when you look at those people, what comes to my mind is that story which Prabhupada says of the ostrich. You know that ostrich which was running, the ostrich cannot run very fast. It has a big body and a long, it cannot run fast. So what did the ostrich do? He just put his head into a hole and closed the eyes and said, now there is no tiger behind me. But the tiger came and captured him and ate him up. Isn't it? Similarly, people watch TV, glued their eyes glued to the TV, and in that illusion that is present under the TV, some hero, some heroine is singing, dancing, something is going on. So they completely forget the reality of life, that my body is getting old, I'm getting diseases, and the death is going to knock me down one day. And who am I? Where am I going without those questions? They foolishly, day after day, month after month, year after year, watching the TV, hours and hours and hours, increasing their illusion. Because of this, the result is what? When we are in illusion, it's very pleasurable. But the reality is, one will be brought out of that situation when by the cruel hands of death. By the separating sword of time. Time separates one from that situation. And then when they die, they don't know where are they going. Because they haven't done their duty, they are likely to end up becoming a rat in the same house. Or a cockroach in the same house, as Prabhupada says. So Prabhupada says the nature is so frightening and people are unaware of the truth. And they are so submerged in illusion. So, there Prabhupada explains that a person who is submerged in sense gratification goes to hell. And a person who is a scientist or a learned man who makes arrangement for the sense gratification goes to a more darker hell. You see? One who makes arrangement for people to enjoy sense gratification, he goes to a more darker hell. Why? Like, for example, I will put it in more simple terms. A person who kills a cow for eating goes to hell. But a scientist who makes a machine to kill millions of cows, he goes to a much bigger hell. That is more easy to understand. Isn't it? Because poor fellow, the fellow who was cutting the cow, he doesn't know how to cut many cows. He has only got two hands. He cuts at least only one per day, or you know, one in a week. But now you make a big machine and give where million cows can be cut in one stroke. You press on a button, boom, chatak, immediately million cows are killed. So such a so-called learned man, he goes to a more darker hell, says Isha Upanishad. You see? Because he is encouraging sinful activities through his so-called advancement of science and technology. Yeah. In those days, people would make some little liquor. A few men may come together and make liquor. Now there are bottling plants, you know, liquor plants. There are cigarette industries. There are meat industries, slaughterhouses. On huge size. So, such learned people are very condemned in the Isha Upanishad. Very strongly. Yeah. That is why Prabhupada is giving a long list of these people, you see. He is saying, great scientists, great philosophers, great mental speculators, great politicians, great industrialists, the great social reformers, so-called people. They cannot give any relief to the restless society of the material world because they do not know the secret of success. They never talk a word about God, the so-called learned people. But they keep the population of the world submerged in darkness and promoting more and more sense gratification. Yeah, that's why they are condemned. You see, the people of this world are like a bunch of sheep. They are gullible. They simply, you have seen the sheep, goats you have seen. One goat, you know, walks and he crosses a stick and goes, all the goats will cross and go. You will see that. The mass population of this world are gullible and they always are swayed by fads and fashions. And the leaders of the society are the trendsetters. And who are the leaders? The learned people, the educated people, the scientists, the industrialists, as Prabhupada says, the social reformers. Take for example, Gandhi is one social reformer. One Gandhi, the whole nation considered him the father. And because of Gandhi, some amount of this Khadi culture and everything came. You see, Prabhupada's dear friend, Bhakti Raksha Sridhar Maharaj, once gave this example of Gandhi. He said, you know, Gandhi came up with this Khadi, you know. So he made Khadi and told all over India that all of you people, you stop using this cloth which comes from Manchester. These British people are taking cotton from us and they make new cloth in fine cloth in Manchester and they bring it back to India and sell it 10 times or 20 times the price. And they're looting your money. So don't buy from them. What do they call it? Swaraj. Swadeshi. Swadeshi. Reject all the foreign goods and accept only goods from India. And all the India followed. You know what those guys did? They, in order to cheat, they started selling cotton, selling cloth which was made outside India, but which looked like Khadi. It looked like Khadi. That kind of imitation thing they had made. Then Gandhi, you know, he made a coupon repo system that, you know, we should only buy things made in India, just like nowadays companies make these holograms, you know. You know hologram? Like, you know, like Chyawanprash. There is a real Chyawanprash, there is an imitation Chyawanprash. There is a real Godrej and there is imitation Godrej. Similarly, when British people started imitating in order to again cheat the people of India, then Gandhi made this kind of system by which only Indian goods will be purchased. So B.R. Sridhar Maharaj once said that just like Gandhi made this system that all of you buy only through this coupon. That is parampara system, he said. Accept knowledge only in parampara. Don't accept which looks like parampara. That knowledge you don't accept, he said. So there are so many imitation paramparas which have come. The original parampara is coming from Krishna. And what are other paramparas coming? That Prabhupada says here. The mental speculator parampara, great politicians parampara, industrialist parampara, social reformers parampara, all these things. So these guys have started their line of so-called welfare for the people, which is cheating welfare. You can never do welfare through these activities, which are godless, devoid of God, without keeping God in the center. That is why it is said, Durjana Parihartavyo. Vidyaya api alankritopisan, it says. Vidyaya api alankritopisan. Even if a person is decorated by vidya, learning, durjana parihartavyo. One should give up the company of a durjana. One should not accept the company of a durjana. And then he says, manina bhushita sarpa kim asauna bhayankaraha. If a serpent is decorated with a jewel on his head, it's not that he is less of a serpent and more of a beautiful personality. The serpent having money on the head in Kohinoor is more dangerous than a serpent not having money, he says. Why? Because you will be tempted to take that jewel. When you go near to take the jewel, the serpent will give a bite. That is why it is more dangerous. Now, what is this manina bhushita sarpa? If a person is educated, but he is a non-devotee. Or if a person is very wealthy, but he is a non-devotee. Then they are called as a serpent. Then they are called as a serpent, dangerous serpent. They are not only dangerous, but they are decorated with these jewels. So it is said a devotee should not become impressed with the material expertise of a hardcore materialist who is a non-devotee. Oftentimes, neophyte devotees, they even become envious. Hey, oh, he has a handsome body. Hey, he has such a so much of wealth. He is so wealthy or he is so highly educated. So one can become very infatuated by somebody's material capabilities. So this education, austerity, youth, prestige, wealth, all these things. These things are all material capabilities. But if one is having these things but is a non-devotee, a person who is not so advanced in devotional life may develop respect for them. Too much of respect for them. And when there is respect, when there is attraction, when one becomes enamored by such kind of people, then one may contemplate on those things and one may fall down or one may get distracted. That's why he says, Maninabhusha. So, sometimes we take some material expertise from a materialist to be used in Krishna's service. But only a very mature devotee can do that. Because one has to be very careful. It's like slowly going to a snake and taking only the diamond and not getting bitten. It's not a very easy thing. Isn't it? Vishadapi amritam grahyam. Chanakya says that also. Vishadapi amritam grahyam. Amedya adapikanchanam. What is the third line he says? Strishu dushkula adapi. That's the last line. He says, Vishadapi amritam grahyam. From a wish, if there is amrit, one can extract only the amrit. That is not a very easy thing. You heard the story. Once there were some monkeys which are living on trees which were almost touching the water in a pond, in a lake. They were all bending like this. But in that lake, there were very deadly crocodiles living there. So, these monkeys, of course, they were very well-informed monkeys. But once their relatives came from a distant place to stay with them. So, then the relative monkeys, friends who had come, they said, hey, you guys are living so close to the water, you just catch hold of the branch on one hand and the other hand you can be diving and playing in the water. Why you guys don't play? The monkey said, hey, you have to be careful. You cannot play with this. There are very deadly crocodiles in this. As soon as they were saying this, immediately some crocodiles were opening the mouth from the water, ready to eat them. So then they became very frightened because they were rightly informed. That is why hearing is very important. You have to hear from those who are wise so that you will be saved from Maya. But then the visitors monkeys, they asked, then when you feel thirsty, how do you drink water? There is so much of crocodiles here. Then they said, we have these reeds. Reeds are long grasses which have a tubular kind of grass. So they had accumulated some of those grasses and kept. We just put the tube and drink only water without any danger. Similarly, a devotee knows while living in the material world how to take what is basically needed for my survival without getting affected by Maya. That a devotee should know. That smartness is needed. How not to get entangled in this world while just like catching the fish without getting wet. So in the same manner, to take amedya adapi kanchanam, if a piece of gold ring or something has fallen into. Sometimes you go to the bathroom, you are washing the hand and a gold ring falls into the lavatory hole. And then you feel, oh, you have experience, sometimes watch or something falls inside. So you want to take it out also. But at the same time it is mixed with stool also. So you don't know how to take. There is no stick or anything to take. So you may take with the hand and afterwards you may wash your hand with soap and everything. Similarly, sometimes a very valuable substance falls into some dirty substance, but you very carefully extract only that and you don't preserve the stool for a long time. In the same manner, we should know when we are taking something from a materialist, we should know how to Krishnaize it, how to take it without getting, without spoiling ourselves. It should be done very carefully. Like you see, when Srila Prabhupada would treat his wealthy disciples like Ford, Ambarish Prabhu and all, he treated them just like he would treat the poor people, poor disciples. He didn't make any difference. It's Ambarish Ford. And Prabhupada didn't say, "Oh, Ambarish is coming, Ambarish Prabhu." You know, he didn't treat him like a millionaire is coming. He treated him just like he would treat any other disciple. But if somebody was a well-wisher, he's a rich man, is coming to temple, but he is not so committed to Prabhupada. He's totally new. He is more of a donor than a devotee. Then Prabhupada gave extra respect to them. Because they are not yet well understood in the path of Krishna consciousness. Then Prabhupada may treat them a little differently. But a person who has become a disciple, he will treat them equally. Just like there is no difference between an IIT disciple or a Massachusetts Institute of Technology disciple, or a disciple from Cornell, and a disciple who is ITI. There's no difference. It's the same thing. There's no difference because Guru knows that these are all superficial material qualifications. He sees everyone as a devotee of Krishna. So, one should be very careful while dealing with these learned people. They are so-called learned people, but they are atheistic people because they don't know the secret of success. The secret of success is to understand Krishna and serve Him and please Him. That they are not propagating. They are propagating the contrary. They are propagating the opposite. They are keeping the people, giving them comforts and luxuries, and trying to suppress the perpetual miseries of life without finding out a solution. In one place, Prabhupada is saying that we are telling people this is Dukkhalayam, this is Ashashvatam. This is a temporary place. You cannot stay here. Even if you say, "I will tolerate the miseries, no problem, no problem." No, you will not be allowed to stay here. Even if you are willing to tolerate. First of all, tolerating is also difficult. But even if one agrees to tolerate, still you will not be allowed to tolerate. You will be told to go out, he says. And then he says, we are showing direction to people. Krishna himself is saying, Natat bhasete suryo nashashanko na pavakah yadgatpani nanivartante tadhama paramamama. We show hand to the spiritual world and we show hand to Krishna. We tell people, come, get up, wake up. Don't be lethargic in this cozy comfort of the material world. Get up and we show them. But the scientists and atheistic people, what are they doing? They are telling the people, "Yes, we know you are suffering, but wait, sir, we are going to give you some comforts and luxuries. And we will make you comfortable here. Let's make things better." Like that, they tell the people. And what do we say? Let's make people better, not the things. Because things can never be made better. It's like the foolish camel who asked, "Now I am a camel, you make me a camel with a longer neck. Is it a great boon?" What a foolish boon it was. He could have asked Brahma, "Hey Brahma, I was a Brahmana before. Now I became a camel. Can you please, help me leave this body and get a Brahmana body at least? Or give me what is the best thing you have. Can you send me back to Godhead? Or can you make me Krishna's devotee?" Instead of that, he asked for a longer neck. Similarly, modern day so-called educated people, what are they offering us? They are telling us, "Yes, we know you are suffering, but we'll give you television, we'll give you comforts and luxuries by which you can forget your pain. You can keep the pain in the side and you can enjoy the illusion for some time. And you can go on with your life and die one day like cats and dogs, not knowing where you are going to go." Very foolish thing. Very foolish idea. So that is why these so-called learned people are very dangerous fellows. Because they are cheating the public. So Prabhupada is saying, we are telling people go back to God and you are telling people you remain here. So you have become our enemy. So how can we not expose you? He is asking in one of his conversations. How can we not expose you? Because you are cheating the people. In fact, the original goal of science in the early days was for people to know the glory of God, the greatness of God. How wonderful God is. How wonderful is His creation. Same purpose of the Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter. The purpose of knowing the opulence and vibhutis of Krishna is to increase our appreciation for Him and respect for Him. By which we can fall in love with Him and develop attachment to Him subsequently. That is the goal of knowing the opulences of God. But when we know the opulence of God and cut it off from God and take it and enjoy ourselves and forget God altogether, then it becomes atheism. Then it is atheism. People just want to manipulate matter to find out how matter can offer me luxury and comforts. And how matter can offer me facilities so that I can nicely forget God. That's what the modern so-called educated people are teaching. Every one of these people we can talk about. People who are studying Sanskrit, you know, how they become Vedavadarata. Although they become very learned in Vedas, they even suspect and doubt Puranas. They don't have respect and faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. They are always doubtful whether God is personal or impersonal. Even though they are so learned in the Vedas. And the atheistic scientists, they are going on inventing newer and newer luxuries. And of course, science, there is science and there is technology, which is application of science. So it begins with scientific research, but it ends with practical application of that science, which is technological comforts and luxuries, which keep people submerged. Today you go in the train or bus or plane, you know, children are playing video games constantly, whiling away their valuable time. You go to any home, there's a dish antenna, people are watching television all day. There are so many 120 channels. You go anywhere, you find that modern man's so-called scientific research has increased illusion of the general masses. The general masses are like children. They are kids. They are like sheep, we were saying. They simply follow the leaders. If the leaders of the society offer some comforts and facilities and luxuries for pampering the senses, then the children, like citizens, they become cheated. They become simply cheated. Just like I have seen some politicians used to give a speech on the mic, canvassing. They would say, I have personally heard it in our town. Man said, if all of you people vote for me, I will open a cinema theater in your village. And everyone will say, fee, 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 they'll give whistle. And then they'll clap hands, you know. They'll be clapping hands. And then so and so, ki Jindabad, you know, they'll be saying and all that. And then he will say, also, you will say that, you know, you people are struggling hard to make this wine. I'll open a wine shop in front of the bus stand or railway station. Again, fee, 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 whistle and clapping hands. Prabhupada says, this is government of the Shudras, by the Shudras, for the Shudras. You see? Yeah. So the public is generally Shudraic in nature. Vedic life means also democracy, but democracy amongst the Brahmanas. It is not democracy amongst the Shudraic public. Because of the public which has a Shudra nature, if they are asked to elect a leader, they are surely going to elect another Shudra as the leader, who will do similar activities like them. That is why, if you see the voting system today, how do you think people vote? They put a big picture of a man with a head, his face they put, his name they put, vote for so and so. And they show some different symbols, some hand or leg or horse or peacock, some symbol they show. And all the people keep watching it here and there. And when they go to the election booth, they say, yeah, isko dekha tha maine. Thik hai, put the same. That's all. Whatever they saw more, people just put a vote. That's all. That's how people vote. Actually speaking, a leader means, first of all, leader, people should know what is the wisdom of this leader. Is he a wise person? Is he learned in parampara? Has he got a guru? And what is his character? Nowadays, if you have to be a leader of characters, you must have gone to jail 20 times. You must have killed somebody. You must be such a powerful hero in the sense of the term. Hoodlum or somebody. Then only you can be a big leader. So this kind of cheating democracy. Prabhupada called it as demon crazy. Yeah, it is simply cheating. Such leaders. So you can talk at a political level, you can talk about the learned atheistic scientists, you can talk about the atheistic Vedavadarata, people who don't have faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these learned people, they are all called as, by this verse Krishna calls, Namam Dushkritna Mudha Prapadyante Naradaman, all these things. He's calling. Very unfortunate. Naradama Prabhupada explains that if a child is born without Garbhadhan Sanskar, that itself is a blunder. But after the child is born, the child is not given those 40 sanskaras. Then the child again remains a shudra. Janmana jayate shudra. Sanskarat bhave dvija. The child remains a shudra. First he becomes naradama because garbhadhan was not done. Then after being born, no sanskaras are performed. Then he remains a naradama also. And in this way, Prabhupada explains 99.9% of the population in the modern times is naradama. He says, Nara Adama. So, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda delivered even Jagai Madais, who are counted as Naradama. They delivered them. So, Krishna conscious process is so powerful, it can deliver anybody and everybody. Prabhupada is saying, so these are the two things, connected points. One is, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra should not fall from their position by ignoring the Supreme Lord or offending the Supreme Lord. That is the first point. And then he says about how all the so-called learned people, they pretend to be having a halo around their head, and they pretend to be guides of the society, and they pretend to be leaders of the society, but they are misleaders. They are not leaders. They are cheating the society. Now if you see the situation in the world is that even a devotee parent, you ask, what do you want your son to become? Most of them will say, I want him to be an engineer or a doctor. We can't blame them much. Why? Because they are simply conducted by the current of the society. Like I was telling the example in South India, one Sri Vaishnava, he says, my younger son is more smart. I have sent him to America to do software engineering, MS. And my elder son is a muff. I have sent him to Patshala to learn some Vedic part. So, it is Srila Prabhupada's mercy that has changed this trend in India. Now, educated engineers and doctors, they are happy to shave off their head and come and wear the cloth of a brahmachari and chant and dance. And also those who don't shave up and join the ashram, even doctors and engineers, they have respect for the sadhus, they have respect for the Vaishnavas, and they are ready to bow down their head to the Vaishnava wisdom. And this is made possible by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, because Prabhupada gave the true knowledge. Prabhupada is the true leader, true Mahatma. Prabhupada used to say, Mahatma is not a rubber stamp. You know, there are so many Mahatmas people call, Mahatma Dubey, Mahatma, so many names they call. But who can be called a Mahatma? Prabhupada is saying, you see, there was one very great social reformer in South India, a very great poet. So that poet has done many reforms in South. One of the reforms he did was, he went to the slum one day with a group of his followers and with lot of sacred threads. And he called all the slum people out and started putting them sacred thread. He said, I am declaring you, today onwards you are a Brahmana. He said. And all the newspapers, they came and clicked photos and published and said, Subramanya Bharati has made so many Brahmanas in the slums. You know, he's a great poet. So, simply by putting a sacred thread on the body of a person living in a slum, you don't make him a Brahmana. Brahmana one becomes by qualification. Prabhupada said, this is like rubber stamping someone as a Harijana. Nowadays the Harijana word has become so bad. How many of you would like to be called as a Harijan? As soon as you say Harijan, you think it's a bad word. Actually, Harijan is a very good word. Vishnujan, Harijan. We are all devotees of Lord Hari, devotees of Lord Vishnu. But can you make someone a devotee simply by putting a tilak on his forehead? Call all the people passing, Drade, come here. We are putting tilak on your forehead. Put a kantimala in the neck and give a bead bag in the neck and say, now you are a Harijan. Vaishnava. Can you make like that? It would be very superficial social reform it is. Real social reform is to transform the heart of people. Both Gandhi and Subramanya Bharati, they did the same. By rubber standing people as Harijan or a Brahmana, they wanted to, basically their intention was good. What was their intention? They wanted to tell them that you are not an outcast, you can be equal to a Brahmana. Because in God's eyes, no one is superior, no one is lower. Whether one is a woman, one is a child, one is an old man, one is a Brahmana, one is a Shudra. God sees everyone equally. He's a Bhavagrahi. Janardhan. That's what they wanted to say. But they were not learned in Parampara. That's a problem. They are not Dhiras. Iti Shushruma Dhiranam Enastat Vichachakshire. You get the right eyes to see the truth if we hear in Parampara. But because they were half-baked fellows, they did not learn in Parampara properly. That's why good intentions are not good enough. Yeah, we need to practically know the knowledge. Imagine if I take a knife in my hand and say, anybody has a big boil, come here, I will perform surgery. Do you think anybody will come to me? Imagine one of you has a big boil on your back and I'm calling, yeah, come here, I will remove the boil. Here is the knife. Will you come? If you call any of you? You won't come because you know I am not a surgeon. I am not a qualified surgeon. You know that I can do more harm to you than good. So an unqualified person, despite his good intentions, cannot do good. That is why in Bhagavad Gita, that famous verse, it says, Labante brahma nirvanam rishayakshina kalmashaha chinnadvaida yadatmanaha sarva bhuta hiterataha. The great Vaishnava saintly persons, their hearts are always filled with compassion for the suffering souls. And because they have become sinless completely by engaging in Krishna's lotus feet, they are the only persons qualified for bringing the people out of suffering. The only people are pure Vaishnavas, Mahatmas. They only can bring the populace out of suffering. Nobody else. All other lesser category people who are so-called social reformers and industrialists and leaders and atheistic scientists and literati and all the scholars, they can never do good to the people. They can do more harm than good. They can do great harm than good. That is why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is that famous statement. He said, there has never been any personality like Sriman Mahaprabhu and his followers or a process like Krishna consciousness ever given to the public in the past. There has never been anyone equal to that. Nor will there ever be such a thing in the future like Sriman Mahaprabhu and his followers and the welfare activities that they have done for the world. Why so? He said, because all other so-called welfare activities, they are all different forms of deceitfulness, he said. Causing mischief to one another, he said. Like one country, you know, educates and raises the people to the standard of becoming a scientist, and then the scientist creates a bomb for India, and another country, they make another scientist, he creates a bomb for Pakistan. They kill each other. So he said, causing mischief for one another. All other welfare activities are like that, he said. We do for one class, and other classes become inimical to them. Like that. And he said, but the good that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave is the ultimate good. Why? Because it completely makes one devoid of evil propensities. It doesn't produce evil, it doesn't become affected by evil. We don't accept the evil of the world into our system. Like Kama, Krodha, Madhulabha, Moha, Macharya. A devotee can live in the heart of the city, like New York, Prabhupada is living, and still not get affected by it. Nor will he produce any evil. He will not cause any trouble to anyone. Like the Bhagavad Gita verse says, you know, it says, Yasman no dvijate loko, lokan no udvijate chayaha, harsha marsha bayodvegair, mukto yasta chame priyaha. Yasman no udvijate loko. He doesn't cause any agitation to the people of the world. nor does he become agitated by others' troubles. Like that he says. So, all these things are wonderfully mentioned by Bhaksan Saraswati. It doesn't produce any evil, it doesn't become affected by evil. It produces the ultimate good and welfare activity for anyone who takes to the path of Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I was having a question in my mind, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't write any books? Jiva Goswami and others, they have written so many books. Mahaprabhu's wisdom is so deep. How nice it will be if he left behind many books. So one Vaishnava was telling, Mahaprabhu knew that if he writes too many books, some people may take those books and give wrong interpretation. That's the likelihood. Just like they do with any book by tampering the book and giving some wrong meaning. So Mahaprabhu decided that I'll give only these 8 verses, Sikshashtaka verses, which are so lucid, it's very difficult to concoct any meaning out of it. It is straight. So he has given just these 8 verses, which is the spirit of a Vaishnava, which is actually the mood of Srimati Radharani. Mahaprabhu has expressed the mood of Radharani in those 8 verses of Sikshashtaka. So, that is real learning. If we can teach people how to feel separation from Krishna, the job is done. That's it. So, if people have started feeling a longing to love Krishna and serve Krishna, and thereby naturally serve the devotees who are all decorating the bosom of Krishna in the form of that beautiful jewel or the necklace in the Vishnu's chest. So anyone who loves and respects Krishna will naturally love and respect the devotees also. So then that is ultimate good we can do. They will become happy and they can make many others happy. They will be happy people and they can make many others happy. And they will be satisfied with practically nothing of this world. Their requirements are very minimal. They hardly need anything of this material world because their hearts have become tied to the Lord's lotus feet. They don't aspire or hanker for anything of this world. So, Prabhupada is saying that all these personalities, people, they are, in the name of leaders, they are usurping the public wealth and property along with their minds, along with their intelligences, and along with all the property of the Lord and using it for a wrong purpose, cheating themselves, cheating others also. Mogasha, moga karmana, moga jnana, vichetasa, rakshasi, masurim, chaiva, prakritim, mohinim, shita. So, it is not enough for us to leave the subject matter, criticizing them and saying that what to do, this is the kind of age we are living in. So, you know, when Lord Krishna left for his own abode, Arjuna returned to Hastinapur and Yudhishthira asked many questions to him. That time, Arjuna, he could not check his tears, which were coming out like streams of rivers from his eyes. And he was breathing very heavily. And in his own mind, he was remembering Lord Krishna, how he was riding his chariot. And how Krishna was befriending him by eating with him, by sleeping with him, by playing with him, joking with him, teasing him. Sometimes Krishna and Arjuna would tell each other, how great I am. Arjuna would tell his prowess and Krishna would tell his prowess. And they would joke at each other like this. And all these things Arjuna was remembering. He was remembering the intimate friendliness of Krishna. And he was feeling great pain that such a sweet Lord who, while speaking sweetly, his face would be decorated with a beautiful smile always. And saying this, Arjuna was crying, that my heart is feeling great pain in separation from him. At that time, he remembered the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. He remembered, actually he always remembered, but at that time he specifically remembered those teachings. And reading those teachings, hearing those teachings, helped Arjuna to tolerate the pain of separation from Krishna. So Prabhupada says that when we are hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam is actually Puranarko Adunoditaha. When Krishna left for his own abode with dharma, jnana and everything, the whole world became plunged in darkness. But fortunately Krishna left behind this Bhagavat Granth, which is like the sun in the age of Kali Yuga. Like that it is said. Pranarkodinodita. So anyone who understands the spirit of Bhagavatam and studies it and remembers the teachings of Lord Krishna to Arjuna and Bhagavad Gita also, they can expect light in their heart, and the darkness in our heart can be removed by acquiring that light in our own lives. And also, Prabhupada very frankly and honestly shows us who is a cheater, who is the real leader, whom to follow and whom not to follow. Otherwise, many people in India who are pious people, like one boy came to me, he said, Prabhuji, why we people criticize all these other guys and all? We should be servant of the servant. They came and asked me in this camp. I said, yes, we are servant of the servant. That is why we are criticizing them. It's our duty. Then I said, you know, do you believe Prahlad Maharaj is a wonderful devotee? And he said, oh, Prahlad is a pure devotee. He said, yes. Then I told, you know what he is saying? Matirna Krishne parato svatova mitobhi padyeta grahavratana adanta gobhir vishatam tamishram puna puna charvita charvanana nate vidusvartha gatim hi vishnu durashayaye bahirartamaninah andayatandairupaniyamanas tepi shatantriyam murudam nibaddha. You see, if you go to this Grand Canyon, you know, you have seen this Grand Canyon? It's a huge, deep place. But many people go to see that dangerous valley. Just like you see, Mount Everest is very huge. Like the Grand Canyon is very deep. Extreme deep valley. If you see, your head will get a chakra if you see that. Your head will reel. Very deep valley. But sometimes people want to go and see the beauty of very big things and very deep things. The valleys and all that. So they go. So when they travel, they go in a mule. You know, there is a man sitting on the mule in the front. And he goes in the front. And there is another mule on the back of which they put you. You can sit. And this mule behind, what he will do? He will only look down to the feet of the previous mule. And whatever way it goes, it will also go. But if there is a little carelessness, then the mule can slip and roll and one will fall into the Grand Canyon. And, you know, finished. Nobody can even get the bones. One who goes down the deep valley. It's a very risky thing to go. Sometimes in Badrinath, Kedarnath, when people are traveling in buses, the whole bus topples. And people fall like that. It's a very deep valley. So, somebody may ask, hey, it's such a risky thing, why should I go in the mule? But the person who is going in the front oftentimes says, see, if you have to die, for that I have to die first. After that only you can die. You know why? Only if the first mule rolls off, then the next mule also follows his path and that also rolls off. Because he exactly follows the previous one. He goes like this. If he goes close to the canyon, then he will also go close. Like that. So, the blind leaders are like the first mule, which is little careless and which slips and falls. Then all the mules behind will fall one after other. Andayatandair, upaniyamanas, tepishatantriyam, urutamdipadda. Blind leading the blind, all falling into the ditch. So, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that. He says they are entering into the deep, dark regions of hell. As he says, adanta gobir, because of uncontrolled mind and senses. They have no control of mind and senses. They are engaged in lusty, angry, greedy, prideful activities, materialistic activities, good for nothing. So he is saying that. He is telling this boy, see, he is a Mahabhagavat, pure deity Prahlad. He is saying like this. He is saying about materialistic people. At that time, the materialism was epitomized by Hiranyakashipu, in front of whom he was standing and saying this. Can you imagine? He had absolutely no fear. He spoke the truth. Prahlad Maharaj. Although his father became very wild hearing this. Srila Prabhupada also spoke the truth in the same manner. So, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to tell the truth? That is explained by Prabhupada in Chaitra Charitamrita. He says, if you have to destroy the anartha, of people, you have to explode the misconception. But if you put a bomb in front of a person, the person will run away. You have to enter his heart and put the bomb inside the heart. Then the anartha can be exploded. If anartha is exploded externally, then the fellow will not even hear, he will run away. That is why Prabhupada, how he treated, I told you, those who are wealthy people, he gave them respect and honor and prestige, treated them very warmly. But then when they became devotees, he treated them just like any other devotee. He treated them. In the same manner, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a sweet speech and a very pleasant behavior, captivating behavior, and very endearing dealings with anyone, with materialists, with non-devotees, with mayavadis, with everyone. He had such kind of dealings. First he would praise a person, appreciate a person. Like if you see Mahaprabhu's dealings with Vallabha Bhatta, you know, he told Vallabha Bhattacharya that anyone who doesn't follow the Swami, Sridhara Swami, is a prostitute. He said, it has a double meaning. If a woman gives up her husband and runs after another man, she is called a prostitute. Similarly, anyone who doesn't follow Sridhara Swami, who is a prime acharya in our line, such a person is also like a prostitute. So this was extremely pricking and painful to the heart of Vallabha Bhattacharya. And he immediately came down from his intoxicated state of pride. You see, why the chastisement is given? For two reasons. When one is non-repentant after committing a criminal activity, or when one is floating in pride, thinking I am very great, although one is a fool, one doesn't have qualification, but one is unnecessarily proud, dumba, then he has to be chastised and brought to the ground level. That's what Vidura did with Dhritarashtra. Because Dhritarashtra was thinking, I am still a king. Actually, he had created so much trouble for the Pandavas. He deserved to be killed also and thrown out also, but out of some respect, Yudhishthira Maharaj kept him. And he was thinking, I am a great king. And he brought him to ground level. When he heard the chastisement, he became sober. That is why. So Mahaprabhu gave this chastisement immediately. Vallabha Bhattacharya came to ground level and became, what are you saying? He became shocked. And then Mahaprabhu told him, you see, you are a great devotee. It is not befitting you to speak like this, saying that, you know, you have given a commentary of Bhagavatam better than Sridhara Swami's commentary. How can a devotee like you give a commentary that opposes Sridhara Swami's commentary? So when Mahaprabhu heard it, this was very enlightening to Vallabha Bhattacharya. He said, yes, it is true. All Vaishnavas always follow the previous acharyas. How can I give a commentary that is not acceptable by the contemporary Vaishnavas and that goes against the previous Vaishnava? He immediately became enlightened in a moment. And then Mahaprabhu told him, you now adjust your commentary and write it properly in line with Sridhara Swami's commentary. If you do that, I will be very pleased with you and I will come to your home for prasadam. He said. And Vallabha Bhattacharya became very ecstatic. Of course, Mahaprabhu went to his home and had prasad after that, which is like the rain shower of mercy. So Mahaprabhu gave a thunder, he gave a lightning and rain shower, all three in one. He gave. So thunder is a chastisement and lightning is a enlightenment. And rain shower is the compassion and mercy. He gave all three to Vallabha Bhattacharya. And we can see this in Mahaprabhu's behavior. What Mahaprabhu would do, first when he would meet a person, he even if he's a materialist, he has some good quality or skill which we don't have. So there is nothing wrong in praising someone for some skill which is a Krishna given skill. You appreciate. When you appreciate a person, then a person's heart opens up and one becomes willing to listen. And then when a person becomes willing to listen, then Mahaprabhu would take a superior position and instruct him. Give him the right knowledge. And then he would test their willingness to hear. If they are more and more willing, he would give them more and more. Or if he is not willing, then he would give them more respect. more honor, more respect, more appreciation. Either of the two you have to give. If a person is not willing to hear, then you have to, like how he dealt with Sarvamattacharya. Sarvamattacharya needed someone to listen to him first, for him to hear from anyone else. Understand first and then try to be understood. Mahaprabhu followed it. In this way, and then once a person appreciates Mahaprabhu's good qualities and opens his ears, opens his heart, and then shows his willingness to listen, immediately Mahaprabhu would enter his heart and start giving instructions by sitting inside his heart. And then the person would very nicely listen. And then when he would apply the good instructions, he would become a transformed person. Yeah. So, when we read these purports and everything of Prabhupada, when we look at these kind of so-called learned people, first thing that should come to our heart is pity. We should feel compassion. We should feel how these people are so unfortunate, the so-called misleaders of society. That is why in ISKCON, many ISKCON devotees go and meet the big leaders and give them Bhagavad Gita as it is. You know, they gift it to them. Recently, Rasaraja Prabhu met Menaka Gandhi. And he gifted her a copy of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam first canto. He gifted her. So when we meet big people, even the Miss Universe. She came to Delhi, our temple. Delhi ISKCON temple. Miss Universe, I think. So she came to Delhi temple and she took some books. Gopakrishna Maharaj gave some books. So why do we want to give Prabhupada books to those people? Just like we were also in ignorance once upon a time. Before we came across Prabhupada's books. And we were also leading a foolish life, heading towards hell. Prabhupada's books enlightened us, and we are now mercifully protected and saved. So we also should offer the same benefit and gift to as many people, especially the misleaders of society. Because misleaders are more dangerous people than the gullible masses. Gullible masses, they just are swayed by the current of fads and fashions. But the leaders are very powerful fellows. They can cause a lot of damage to people in society. So we should try to save them, those who are leaders of society, and thereby then they will save many, many more people. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.